Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Today we have a crazy revenge story of destroying somebody's career. We'll get into that in a bit, but first, I got back on my partner after he abandoned his family. Being a mother, a single mother at that, is hard enough already as it is. There are quite a lot of things that a woman in my shoes or situation is meant to be on the lookout for, but most importantly, the number one thing that tends to prove to be quite a huge problem is the fact that I have to step up and assume the role of both the father and mother to my child. And I know what every single one of you might be thinking. This is whether or not I was careless when I was still in my teenage years and all that. But I can tell you for a fact that the father of my child, who was, at the time, my apparent high school sweetheart, left me at that point in my life when I needed him the most, and quite literally left every single one of the responsibilities that was waiting for him. And this was not while we weren't together. No, quite opposite, in fact. As at the time, we had decided to get married as soon as possible, and then he just left, leaving me to saddle the responsibility of taking care of our child for quite a long period of time. But then again, he could have only have run for so long, as there are quite a number of ways I could have paid him back, but the one way I did choose to resort to was the one that I felt the most satisfied with, and the one that I knew for a fact was going to affect him the greatest. I, female 20, and my then partner, male 22, were at the time together in a relationship. And not just any kind of relationship, but the kind that quite literally every single student in our school at the time was overly envious of. We were like a match made in heaven. People always said that we were perfect together and that we were made for each other. And this was honestly how I felt about him at the time. For reference purposes, let's call him Andrew. So the story about how Andrew and I met is a funny one, as one could never imagine things would have turned out the way it did with the both of us. First off, we were never on speaking terms with each other, as while we were in school at the time, there was an incident. And while I was involved in the separation of those involved in the incident, I wasn't particularly among those that were having issues and quarreling at the time. And while the whole thing was going on, Andrew stood there and was staring down at me with this look of disgust. It was almost as if he was totally disappointed with the situation I was in, as it looked like I was involved with whatever was going on at that particular point in time. Anyways, after that day, although we had never for once engaged in proper conversation with each other, I would always feel that stare from him whether or not he was around me at the time. And this was already starting to become a problem for me. And so one day, I confronted him and made several attempts to figure out what exactly was going through his mind whenever he saw me. And his response made me forget every single thing I was thinking at the time and just burst out into laughter. Apparently, he had thought that I was the one that initiated the fight. And he said from that moment onwards, he was always scared of crossing paths with me. As to him, this might lead to another fight or quarrel similar to the one that had occurred when we first crossed paths. I simply laughed it off and assured him that I wasn't that kind of person, and that things were not too complicated on my own end. And it was from there we picked up the conversation, and we basically started all over by introducing each other and making our acquaintances. He began complimenting me right then and there. And I must say, this was when I totally lost it. I was already beginning to see him in some very notable features, which included his broad shoulders, his tall and well-built physique, and also his hoarse voice, which sent shivers down my spine. All of these totally made me forget the particular reason why I came on over to meet him in the first place, and by the end of our conversation at that time, he had already gotten my number, as he said he would love to continue the conversation on a later date, probably over dinner or something. And this was where I knew that I was totally gone. Anyways, fast forward a few months later, we had already given what we were a tag. And to the greatest surprise of quite literally every single one of our friends, we were already together in a relationship. A happy one at that, I might add. There was quite literally no fault in his person. He had everything a woman could ever ask for in a man, and I couldn't have wanted him any other way. This was notwithstanding the fact that he was extremely handsome, and it was already noticeable that every other girl or lady at the time had their eyes on him. But the one thing I was sure of was the fact that he was not going to leave me for any one of them, or so I thought. Right after high school, we were supposed to submit our applications for the colleges of our choice, and at the time I had my dream college in mind. But then again, when I considered the fact that I was going to be apart from him, I was already beginning to reconsider my choices and all. But I didn't know how he would have taken or handled that piece of information. And then when I asked him, he made me know that nothing would make him happier than me applying for the same college as he was. And I don't know why I felt that way, but the sudden urge to do just whatever it was that he asked of me just completely took over. And before I knew what was happening, I was already accepting the admission given to me by the same college Andrew had chosen. I just knew that things were going to be alright for the both of us, and there was nothing that could come between us. I knew that he was the one I wanted to spend the rest of my life with, and nothing was going to change my mind, not even in the slightest bit. And then, while we were on campus, our dorms were not too far from each other, and so seeing each other on a daily basis was no issue at all. The area where we begin to have issues was when he had started demanding the both of us to be intimately physical with each other. Sure, I was with him 100%, and there was no other person that had the keys to my heart at the time, but then again, this was seeming like quite a huge step to take in our relationship, and I didn't want to make any rash moves, and so I told him off, and he brought this up over and over and over again, multiple times in fact. It got to a point where I was already starting to feel guilty about turning him down that many times, but I made a promise to myself, and I was determined to keep that promise by all possible means necessary. And when I informed him of this, it resulted in an argument that almost led to the end of our relationship at the time. The only thing that stopped him from ending things was the fact that he definitely wanted to make me regret my decision, but this was unknown to me at the time. Anyways, after quite a long period of back and forth arguments as regards this physical intimacy, we finally decided that we were going to get married right after college, seeing as both wanted each other, and there was nothing stopping us from doing so immediately after we were done with getting our degrees and all. And just like that, we had already made and for our future with each other together. And just as planned, right as we were done with college, we got married the year after, as we took quite a long time planning the entire wedding, inviting friends and family and all those other necessities. But then, right after that, we finally had the chance to be with each other, in the realest of all sense, because at this time I truly felt safe and secure with him. He had officially become my safe space, and I knew for a fact that he is always going to be there for me, seeing as we had both tied the knot, or so I thought, so naively in fact. Almost a whole year after we had gotten married, I was still in my early 20s at the time, and I hadn't secured a job for myself at the time. Andrew, however, on the other hand, had already.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Storytime is sponsored by BetterHelp. Nearly everyone at some point in their life will struggle with their mental health, whether that's something stressful at work, in a personal relationship, or something else. I know that I really struggled with anxiety in my early 20s, and therapy was a massive help for me. That's why I'm a massive fan of therapy, and today's sponsor, BetterHelp. If there is anything in your life, big or small, that is negatively affecting you, get it off your chest with BetterHelp. It's an online therapy service that, after finishing a small questionnaire, will match you with a licensed therapist, where you can book appointments that match up with your schedule at any place or any time. And if you feel like you're not bonding with your therapist, you can switch at any point for free. Also, therapy isn't just if you're struggling with mental health. If you're looking for guidance or ways to improve your social skills, life, or relationships, it's a great judgment-free way of doing that. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/StorytimePod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/StorytimePod. Succeeded in making a name for himself in his place of work, even though he was only working there for a little over a year. He was making great strides, and this was a win for the both of us, so of course I was happy for us. This was until I found out that I was pregnant with a bouncing baby boy, and I just couldn't wait to break the good news to him. And his reaction showed how this really meant to him and how he truly viewed me. I was happy for myself and my baby boy, as this was the moment where I truly knew that we were truly in safe hands. Fast forward a bit to where things got real interesting real quick. This was almost a week to my due date, and then he just decided that he wanted to attend a conference meeting in a whole other time zone. I was against this, as it would mean that he wouldn't be there to see his baby being born, but then again, I didn't know that it was all his plan, as that was the last time I set my eyes on him. I had our son alone, and even weeks after I'd left the hospital, I was still taking care of our son alone. The bills were having my neck, and trying to cater for the needs of my newborn was also having its way with me. All this while he was completely unreachable. Several nights would go by, and I would cry myself to sleep every other night, all while holding onto the slightest hope that he would return with a plausible explanation. He didn't. And after 6 whole years, he finally called back with a private number, asking to meet me. I was filled with rage and uncontrollable anger. I thought of what I could say or do, but I decided to control myself as best as I could and hear him out. And after agreeing to the meetup, and after hearing what he had to say, I was completely disappointed, and I knew right then and there that he wasn't worth all the time and attention I'd wasted on him all this while, as this was when he explained that he just got married to me to get back at me for back when we were in high school. And when he found out that he was going to be a father, he panicked and ran away. But then he said he was back, and he was in a state of true regret. He wanted to be in his child's life again, and mine too. But I wasn't having it. I wanted to get back at him, and the only way I knew I could was by getting a divorce. And also full custody of my child, as I knew that through the divorce, I could get alimony for all my struggles. And also through the full custody scheme, he would never get to see his child again. And all of this was easily made possible by a friend of mine who was a lawyer. And till this day, I've never set my eyes on him, as that was the last encounter we ever had with each other. The only solace I took from all of this was the deprivation of his right to see his child, and, of course, financial compensation. And this was enough for me, as I had already moved on from him. I think he made it really easy for OP to do this revenge, which honestly I think is maybe just the right thing to do, not just for OP, but for the kid as well. Him showing up and saying, oh, well, I just got married to you because I wanted to get back at you for what you did in high school, doesn't make any sense at all and is the flimsiest excuse, and he was probably just looking for the opportunity to mooch off of OP. He probably burned some other bridges elsewhere and had nowhere else to go. Who knows, maybe he knocked up somebody else and was trying to get back to the first situation. That said, our next story is how I got around a non-compete clause with a former boss. Many years back, I met someone very rich. He came from money and had a lot of money of his own, but he didn't know what to do with his money. It is funny now that I think about it, but that's what it was at the time. He had a lot of money, but was confused about what to do with it, specifically how to multiply it. At the time, I was 23, I had just graduated from college, and my head and mind were swimming with ideas. I had many ideas on how to make money, but one needed money to make money, and not only did I not have any money, I had student loans to pay up. When we met, I mentioned that there are many ways to make more money in the city we met, and he became very curious and started to ask me questions. My answers were vague, mostly because I didn't want him to steal them, of course. I was being cautious, and he caught on to that. He then assured me that he wanted to know because he would love to invest in me. He then told about how for a long time his father never respected him. His two other brothers were respected by their father, but his father just saw him as a spoiled boy who could not do anything right. He had access to some of his dad's money, and like I said, he was a rich dude, but he craved his dad's respect. He wanted to multiply his dad's money like his brothers were already doing. I was impressed that, despite being handed money on a platter, he still wanted to earn respect for himself, and I shared some of my ideas with him. I figured since he wanted to invest in me, he could easily be a silent investor while I did all the work and shared profits with him. I shared different ideas with him, but only one stood out for him. He asked more questions about it, and then decided to start a business together. We exchanged contacts, and he asked me to come to his home the next Friday. He said by then, he would have discussed it with his lawyers, and we can come to an agreement. That day, I was glad I went to the businessman's networking event where I met him. My dad's friend had suggested that I attend such events regularly to meet and rub minds with like-minded people. He said it would help me grow faster in my career. When I returned home after that event, I called my ex-girlfriend. She had just graduated from law school, and I figured it would be more affordable to have her represent me. I suggest he talk to someone more experienced in corporate law, my ex said to me when I told her, but I refused. I wanted her to represent me because I figured she was the only one who could do that for the price I was bringing to the table. Plus, I trusted the man I'd met and didn't think there was much to be done. He was, after all, going to come with the money, so if anyone had cause to lawyer up, well, it was him. My ex agreed and we showed up in his home a month later to pick up the agreement. The arrangement was for her to read through the documents so we could talk about it later. The next day, she was at my house, and the first thing she said when she saw me was, "You cannot accept the terms in that contract." What the rich dude had told me was that he was going to invest in my ideas. The idea he passed was that he would be a silent investor of sorts, and that I would make him money. The contract, however, seemed like an employer-employee contract. He was going to start a business built from my ideas, and then employ me to work for his business. I was very upset when my lawyer explained it to me. I told her we were going to turn him down, and she agreed. But later that night, I started to wonder if that was a good idea. There was someone who had my ideas, and the money to make more money from my ideas. If I turned down his offer and walked away, he could still start the business without me. He already knew what the plan was, and could do it all on his own or employ people to execute the plan for him. We also didn't have a contract or anything of the sort when I shared my plans with him. I depended solely on his goodwill and hoped he wouldn't betray me. The next morning, I told my ex that I was going to see him about the contract in person. I just believed that if we left out the lawyers and made things very personal, he would be more willing to review the contract. When I met with him, I expressed how I felt and told him I was upset when my lawyer showed me the contract. We didn't agree on an employer-employee business arrangement when we met. He first apologized and implored me to calm down. He then said that his lawyers thought it was a good way to protect himself and his money if we had an employer-employee contract rather than a business partner contract. He pointed out that he was taking a loan from his father to start the business and he could not afford to fail and embarrass his father. He then assured me that the employer-employee thing was just on paper. I had all the brilliant ideas and would be the brain behind the company. He would just be in the background, making sure everything was running well. He promised that I'd have a healthy degree of control of the business, and even said I could buy him out if the business grows and can afford to pay him off. Again, I thought it was a good deal, so we shook hands on it. The next morning, I told my lawyer that he'd given me his word and explained how things were going to work to her. She was skeptical and asked me to think about it again. After convincing her that he was a good person and that he'd never do anything that would jeopardize my trust in him, she agreed, and we decided to accept and sign the contract. The contract came with a 10-year non-compete clause, but that didn't bother me. The thing with contracts is that one never really bothers with these rules because we're certain that we'd never breach them anyway. Also, I thought it was fair that a non-compete clause was added to the agreement. It would be unfair to him if we started this business with his money, I made some money, and then went on to be his competitor. After we had established the business, I found out that my new boss had been very economical with the truth. He was not just the silent investor he had promised he would be, he was fully involved in the business. He was my boss. I was...
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The brain behind the business, but we used his money and I reported directly to him. When we decided to hire Vital staff, I assumed I'd be given a degree of authority in that area, but I wasn't. I was completely sidelined by my boss. For the first 3 months, I wasn't paid. I thought it made sense because the business was still in its growth stage and we did a lot of trial and error that led to us losing money. But my boss was refusing to pay me because he treated me like a partner in the business. Naturally, partners were to bear losses and gains, so as a partner, I shouldn't expect to make money when the business was still struggling. The problem, however, was that my boss was not treating me like a partner. He was treating me like an employee while refusing to provide the benefits of being an employee. The whole arrangement just felt like my boss felt he did me a favor by employing me. I ignored many of his condescending actions until one day, he took a decision that I felt I should have been involved in. Naturally, I shouldn't care because I was an employee, not a partner, but since this wasn't our initial agreement, I felt sidelined and questioned my boss about his decision. He got so mad that I confronted him. I'm not going to lie, my tone was not so pleasant. I was mad and I felt and still feel like I had a right to be. He kept taking action after action to show that he did not value me at all. It was as though he was reminding me of my place in the business. He was also taking credit for all my work and innovations. Whatever I did, he took the credit. As long as it worked out, he immediately took the credit. His dad would praise him and so would his brothers. He never, not even once, gave me credit for all my hard work. It was at that point that I understood why my mom always said that many wealthy people made money through unethical means, and that it was impossible to amass certain kinds of wealth without doing unethical stuff. My boss apologized for yelling at me the previous day, and I accepted his apology, but I still planned my resignation. I was ready to let it all go. I was still thinking hard about my decision when my boss employed someone to fill my role. That man employed someone to be the company's director at a time when I was the director. He then called me privately to his office and he told me something about me reporting directly to the new director instead of him. In other words, the new director was to be my new boss. I typed my 14-day notice that evening, printed it, and sent it to my boss's desk the next morning. When my boss found out that I'd sent in a notice, what he did was unbelievable. My ex had predicted that he'd make a better offer, anything to keep me around. Well, my former boss didn't do that. He sent me a counter letter threatening me. Attached to that letter was a copy of our initial contract. Reading that contract all over made me very sick. I felt stupid for even agreeing to all the ridiculous terms in the first place. I realized how much my desperation had cost me. I was so mad that I texted my ex because I needed to talk to her about ways to get around the non-compete clause. After talking about it in person the week after, I decided on the best way to get revenge against my boss. The agreement was that I could not start a business of the same type as my boss. I could never be his competitor. But the agreement did not say that I could not work for another competitor. I then decided to sell my ideas to someone else. In less than 2 months, I met with someone who also had the money and was interested in my ideas. This time, I elected to be an actual employee. I negotiated for the position of director, and my new employer put me in charge. I was never treated like a partner, but I got all the benefits of a senior employee. My new boss respected my contributions to his business, and I was fully compensated for my brain work. My old boss tried to sue my new boss, but after two attempts by the lawyers on both sides to have an out-of-court settlement, they gave up knowing that they had no case. My new boss's business flourished, and for good reason. He had me on his team, and I was great at coming up with fresh ideas. My old boss packed up his business and ventured into a new one when the competition became too much for him to handle. He was never passionate about the business. He just wanted to make some good money and have something to his name, like his dad and brothers. Not surprising that somebody that's even just starting to try to find some kind of business with his money in the world is still going to be absolutely greed-seeking. I guess this just goes to show, if you're going to be involved in corporate-facing stuff, probably should hire a lawyer that is more involved and knowledgeable in corporate law. But also, more importantly, if your lawyer says, "I do not think you should sign that," you probably should value that a lot more. Our next story is, I destroyed my rival's career after she stole my ideas. Okay, so I destroyed my rival's career. That has got to be classified as bad business ethics, but wait till you discover exactly why I did that. You might be saying, who doesn't get their ideas stolen once in a while? This is worse. Imagine working so hard to be original and some lying, stealing, entitled person steals your ideas and then flaunts it in your face. That's my story. Hi. I'm Jasmine, 23-year-old female, and as long as I can remember, I have been obsessed with art. It quickly became evident to my parents that I was going through a phase and I didn't just doodle for fun when I was around 5 years old. Not to brag, but by the time I was 5, I didn't have trouble drawing both eyes to look the same way. Artists would get how tough the struggle is. You draw one eye and you think it's the best thing you've ever done. Then you begin to draw the second eye, and you end up with a lady that has the eye of Godzilla. Not me, though. It didn't take me long to figure it out. Or maybe I'm just that good. Thankfully, my parents are not the type to think you cannot make a career out of being an artist or painting. Or maybe they just had enough faith in me to believe that my talent was something that could be nurtured into a beautiful thing. And they did everything they could to make sure I did well with it. It was a win for me because art is pretty much my life. I grew up in a small town, and soon people knew that I could draw so well that it only took me an hour to draw a full, almost realistic portrait of them. So if you're ever in my town, at least a few homes will have something signed Jazz M. My parents entered me in a few competitions, and it was amazing experiences, but nothing big enough to make me famous. I went on to study art in school. Now, I didn't go to the Art Institute of Chicago because my parents couldn't afford the money, so I got a degree in fine arts at a community college while teaching myself to be better. I would sometimes post my works online and many would marvel at my talent, but it wasn't enough to make me famous. Maybe that was my undoing. I sold a few pieces here and there to keep the bills paid, especially after I moved to Chicago when I turned 20. I lived an okay life for a 20-year-old. I knew it was going to be better since I wasn't depending on my talent alone. I was working hard too, and I thought everyone appreciated that as well. I was so wrong. I thought only famous people were victims of copyright theft. What people don't tell you is that some famous people steal your works, and that's exactly what happened with Olivia. I discovered her account when a friend advised me to get into posting my works and processes online. I was amazed at her follower count when I saw she had more than 700,000 followers on Instagram. I was barely pushing 1,000, and I was okay with it. But I kept on posting my works, and soon, more and more people began to see my work. I didn't go back to Olivia's page as much anymore because commissions began to pile up. Until one day, I posted a compilation of art pieces I'd done for a few months, and the first 10 comments were people accusing me of stealing someone else's works. I was shocked to the bone. I've never even attempted to recreate anyone else's work since I started painting. I didn't know where this came from, until I started seeing more people say I was stealing Olivia's work. So I went to Olivia's page and found out that she'd been posting replicas of my pieces. That wasn't all. She would even make sure to caption the pictures she posted, "Original piece by me." Original piece by who? I was livid and shaking so bad that I broke down in tears. How could she claim she made these pieces? These were drawings and paintings that took me hours, days, and even weeks to finish some of them. Was it because I wasn't famous? I was so sad and felt extremely cheated out of what should have been mine. When I say what should have been mine, I mean the fact that Olivia had entered a few competitions with my original pieces and won all but one. One of them even awarded a whopping $10,000 as cash prize. What is funny is that I entered into the same competitions and kept getting disqualified for reasons I didn't know. I just thought that I didn't make the short list or that I didn't follow the guidelines to apply correctly. That was until I found out the reason. I was being disqualified because the pieces I entered were considered plagiarism, and then I was angry with the committees in charge of these contests. Why did they assume my work was the plagiarized one instead of Olivia's? I wondered why they didn't reach out to me to ask for proof of ownership or to compare. They just assumed that Olivia was a big shot, and there was no way that she could have stolen someone else's work. I was so dejected that I immediately sent a message to Olivia on Instagram. I asked her why she stole my works and my ideas and passed them off as her own. I was very angry, and the message depicted that. I waited for a reply, but I didn't get one until I fell asleep. I was tired from crying. I woke up in the morning with a headache and a message that sent me into a destructive pattern. The text was from Olivia and it read, "Are you really accusing me of stealing your little ideas? You are in over your head. It is quite hilarious to see that you're trying to bring me down with your stupid lies. I'm not worried. You're not in my league. Never will be, because you are nowhere as talented or famous as I am. And besides, even if I did borrow your ideas, they weren't even that good to begin with. Who's to say my genius self didn't make them better? So shut up, lay low, and I won't drag you for filth. Bye, loser." It was at this moment I knew I was going to take matters into my own hands, so I came up with a plan after hours of deliberation. The first thing I did was to compare the period in which the works were posted. Then I called my arts professor at the college I graduated from and explained everything that had been going on. Luckily, I was his best student, so he was ready to help me with my plan. You're asking, what plan? A fake arts exhibition. My arts professor and a few of his friends in the field, after listening to my story, agreed to help me out. So there was going to be an arts exhibition at my community college, and the plan was to invite Olivia as the guest of honor to exhibit her own pieces as well. She was required to bring 6 works, which were within the time frame of 6 months. The requirement was so that she only brought my works and nothing else. A smarter person would have discovered the ruse, but not Olivia. Definitely thankful for that. Then I was going to bring the originals as well and set them up side by side with my stolen ideas and expose Olivia. The day finally came and many people turned up. My old classmates were excited to see my works again and came from all over too. My professor also got some influential critics and collectors to come to the exhibition as well. And so, the day was here. I waited in the back room until Olivia set up her stolen replicas and then set up mine. It didn't take long before people started noticing that something was wrong. The pieces looked too similar. You could almost think that they were copies. Then the murmurs started intensifying. Olivia noticed from where she was talking to another artist and walked back up to the front of the hall. She saw what was going on, and all the color immediately drained from her face. She started to yell, to my disgust, "You thief! How dare you steal my work? I'll have you sued!" I didn't believe that she could still have so much audacity after stealing from me. I remained calm amidst the murmurs and Olivia's shouting. My art professor then asked if he could have everyone's attention. "Jasmine has something she would like to show you all, so if you could please turn your attention to the projector up there." That was my cue to talk. I walked up to the laptop we had set on the table and opened up the text message Olivia sent to me. I told everyone to read through the conversation, from my angry message to her rude response. The first thing people noticed was that I was the one that texted her first. One of my old classmates, who was standing at the back of the hall, said, "That makes sense. Jasmine's always been original in everything she does." A few others that knew me agreed as well. Olivia started saying the messages were edited, and she never wrote anything like that. I wasn't bothered by her constant denial and walked to where my works were and the ones Olivia stole. I told the crowd to gather and showed my final card. Remember how I said I always signed my drawings and paintings with the name Jazz M? What I didn't mention was that I did it in the most creative ways. I would draw it into the fires if I was drawing a fireplace, and I would paint a flower to write Jazz M around the edges. Those were my unique signings. It became a game for the people who knew this, to try and figure where exactly I signed. Except Olivia didn't know this. This was my saving grace. I began to point out my signatures in the original paintings, and surely enough, they were in the replicas as well. I discovered that she had just copied my works line by line and stroke by stroke. I started pointing out that there was no way that she could have added Jazz M to her works when her own signature was just Olivia. You didn't have to be there to know that everyone was shocked that a big shot like Olivia could be stealing from me. By that time, Olivia knew the game was up. She confessed that she started taking my ideas and replicating my pieces after someone told her that her recreation of one of my older works was really good. She had sold the piece for a lot of money and thought she could just continue doing the same. I felt extremely cheated, but Olivia didn't even think to apologize. She just kept on saying I had ruined her career. I felt completely justified and told her she deserved it as she stormed out of the building. Some of my old classmates carried the stolen pieces and took them to the dumpster, while the critics and collectors began to tell me how much they loved my pieces. Even though the exhibition was supposed to be fake, I sold all my pieces that day for the highest prices I'd ever been offered since I started painting. I got a lot of commissions that day as well, and it's safe to say that it was the happiest day of my life. That night, I went online to see that people that attended the exhibition had posted the whole ordeal online. Olivia was exposed online, and she lost more than a half of her followers. A lot of people she sold my works to demanded refunds as well. I started to get recognition for my own works, and it paid off eventually. I ran into Olivia a few months after, where she was live painting on the street in order to get people to know her real skills. She looked at peace with what she was doing, but I didn't talk to her. I wasn't bothered by the fact that she never apologized because all my hard work paid off. Safe to say, she wouldn't be stealing from anyone again. Shoot, for all you know, she's just gonna start stealing from archives of somebody that isn't around anymore. These days with like reverse image search, it's just a matter of time, right? Either way, I'm sure there's a number of people beyond just me that hears the story and is like, it was cool and fun how they got their revenge, but why didn't they just go the legal route, especially when they were selling these pieces? I mean, it's nice to get the recognition and all and kind of jumpstart your career, but wouldn't have reclaiming some of that money been even better? But with that being said, that's all the time we have for today. Now, if you want to hear another absolutely crazy revenge story, check out that video on the left. Or if you missed my latest video, check out that video on the right. That said, I'll see you all next time with some more stories.